Welcome to Ray and Faye.
Hello and welcome to the show. Very excited that you're joining us. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and thank you for joining us. We're hyped up, and it's a great sports Monday. You want to join us, listen to us, give us a ring, 718-664-9098, like always. And it's a busy show, but we might get to one or two emails today. Email us at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. We always check them. Sometimes we'll get them on the air, reply to you. Also, we're interactive. Twitter, Facebook, and our own website. Check that out. Interactive's got a lot of great information covering every sport that you could think of. rayandtaytoday.com. And Ray, before you let them know what we're talking about real quick, I got a quick shout out to my son, Elijah, is 14 today. Elijah Dukes, happy birthday. You know, he'll listen later because he's just still at school. You know, out here on the West Coast, he's still at school. So, yeah, wow. Four sons, and my oldest one is 14, man. And very, very excited about that, you know?
I love it. I love it. Happy birthday, Elijah.
Yeah, so, and also, hey, real quick, Bruno Mars got it just got announced. We had him, you know, on the intro of the show. Bruno Mars is doing the Super Bowl this year, Ray. Great.
Yeah,
any quick thoughts on that?
Secret or what? I mean, it had leaked out a few weeks before, or you know, certainly
yeah.
a week before. But no, I thought
it's
they
official.
Did a good job. They had the NFL today. All that whole crew was in Times Square, and Bruno Mars and his crew were there too. So they did a good job of it. I think the NFL is excited. There's going to be a lot of scrutiny on this Super Bowl because it's the first one in New York.
Yeah.
It's the first one in an outdoor stadium in a cold
might
weather
city. Might
have
a snowstorm.
that's what the Farmer's Almanac says. So we'll see.
Yeah, Well, what are we talking about?
So let's get into it. We've got a lot to talk about. So we've got this U.S. Open happening as we speak, the men's finals. We'll talk about the women's finals. We'll get into the college football this past weekend, some very interesting matchups this weekend. We'll go around the NFL. First, we'll talk injuries. Then we'll talk about what happened, some of the critical games that we predicted last show on Friday. We'll talk about what happened on Sunday. We'll also preview these upcoming games tonight. We got a doubleheader for the opening Monday of week one.
Yes, sir. RG3.
We're bringing back our segments, Champs and Chumps of the Weekend. So Ray and Tay are going to give you their best and worst performers of the weekend. And then finally, because we won't be back on air with you until Friday, we'll take a quick sneak peek, that is, at Thursday's game with the Jets going up to Foxborough on Thursday Night Football.
That's going to be a classic. So, hey, before we get to the tennis, I just got to tell you this one thing that I think is fascinating. Jason Kidd's jersey from the New Jersey Nets, but now the Brooklyn Nets, will be retired October 17th out there in Brooklyn. So not only is he the coach, and he's also buying Jay-Z's little small percentage of ownership, he's also going to have his jersey retired. So I think they're setting this up for all the players to, like, make sure you respect this guy because he's not going anywhere. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, it's a little funny that his jersey's retired. I don't think that he did that much work that his jersey needs to be retired as a Net. I mean, they did go to the finals twice.
That's what I was going to say, the finals twice. I mean, hey, they hadn't done that before, though, or since then.
I guess. Well, what's that say about your franchise? That a guy that's played for several other franchises, won a championship with another franchise, and your jersey, you're retiring his jersey. But that's okay. I mean, look. I get it. I get the message. I get the message it sends, and it's all good. It's a positive message. So we like that, and we want to see Jason Kidd succeed.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, listen, getting to the U.S. Open, I got to say, it was one of the most entertaining, U.S. Opens, men and women. But the women's final, Azarenka, I got to applaud her. She's incredible. you know, it wasn't straight sets. It was three sets. And in the final set, Serena just, you know, smacked it down 6-1. It was 7-5, 6-7, 6-1. But, you know, congrats to Serena, her fifth U.S. Open, 17th major, which, you know, it sort of has opened up that discussion for us, which we had a couple shows ago about her being the greatest of all time, you know, with Martina and Chris Evert and Steffi Graf, some of the other legendary women, Billie Jean King. But I don't know, Ray. I mean, Serena is just – she's so dominant that she made a great player, like Azarenka, you know, sort of – at the end, right? You know, they go set for set, and then she just like wiped her off. But Azarenka's still great, you know what I mean? So I'm impressed.
She's
congrats
just
to Serena.
Azarenka's just in the wrong era, you know. It's unfortunate that she runs up against Serena, but no, that was great. And that's 1-2, and now in the men's finals, you have 1-2. So
both
Nadal's
we predicted.
Up one set to nothing. He's up 6-2. You know, he won the first set 6-2. And now he's they're on serve. Djokovic is up 1-0, potentially breaking Nadal. So you want to see this one be a 4-5 setter. But we'll update you. We'll have to go off air while they're probably still in the second set. Maybe they'll move on to the third set. But hopefully we'll have just as exciting as a men's finals as we did a women's finals yesterday. But yeah, U.S. Open 1-2-1-2. So it's definitely a battle of the Goliaths.
1-2-1-2. But getting to the Saturday, like guys play on Friday in high school, on Saturday in college, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday in the NFL, there's some noise going down in Texas. BYU put the smackdown on the Texas Longhorns, who are ranked, you know, number 15. And I got to tell you, I don't know where they dropped down to, but 40-21. And so now Mack Brown has fired defensive coordinator Manny Diaz and brought in Greg Robinson of, you know, NFL fame, defensive coordinator. And I just wonder, Ray, is Mack Brown, you think, maybe on his way out in Texas? Is the Longhorns, who have their own network, it's not they're not looking too good. They haven't, you know, they lost Alabama in the championship. Then they won a couple of years before that with Vince Young. But since that Colt McCoy team, they haven't been that good.
Well, BYU put 550 rushing yards on them en route to a 40-21 beatdown of the Longhorns. And if you ever thought that college was about competition and about, you know, making better players, and no, it's about winning games and making money for your school. So the defensive coordinator was fired basically on the spot, and they brought in Greg Robinson, who was a coach himself. He was a defensive coordinator at Michigan, and he was a head coach at Syracuse. So he's definitely qualified, but Manny Diaz was let go with the quickness. Is Mack Brown, you know what? I think Mack Brown's going to retire eventually. I don't think he'll be fired so much as they'll just come to a parting of the ways. I mean, it can't be the case that in Longhorn Nation they're going to suffer several more years, because the problem
is they can't afford to.
If you taste the national championship, then that taste is in your mouth for a long time, especially if
and
you're a major
your
program
expect.
Like Texas.
Yeah.
So they expect to be top, you know, and even in their, you know, the old Big 12 and now, you know, even some of their rivals going to the SEC, I mean, they're not even the talk of the town. I mean, they got the major economics in that whole negotiation for the football rights and the Big 12 and everything. But on the field, Texas has been, you know, has been pretty disappointing last year.
And they might lose to Ole Miss coming up this weekend. Very well could lose to Ole Miss this weekend.
Maybe,
but you know what?
Maybe.
Let's talk about the game we both predicted. Looking at what happened on Saturday night, Michigan against Notre Dame. And, Ray, we said it, and it was true. Gardner was just too much. 41-30, Michigan's defense, their special teams, Gardner. Michigan was nice. What did you think about Notre Dame and, you know, just how Michigan took care of them?
So we both predicted it. I felt like the Big House was just too much. They had – did you see that? Mark Harmon, his dad, wore 98. And then Gardner wore 98, so they do this thing where they bring back, you know, former players who wore the number. I thought that was exciting. I thought Michigan played with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Chip Kelly said it's a regional rivalry, so there was no big deal that that rivalry ends. Gardner, you know what? I'd like to see him succeed because he played, you know, wide receiver last year, but then he went to, with that guy Whitfield to California and went on working on his quarterback skills.
Yeah.
So he's put in the time. I have to believe that, you know, anybody that does that and anybody that's so hungry to get better and improve his skill set, you know, I'd like to see them succeed. So good for them. You know, good for Michigan. Like we both predicted, I thought this was going to happen, but Devin Gardner, 294 yards, four touchdowns.
And 82 rushing.
Yeah, but he beat you from the pocket. He was 21 for 33, right?
Oh, yeah. No.
He definitely had his 82 yards. You know, I was impressed.
Got a little Kaepernick
that,
in him. Got a little Kaepernick in him.
Yeah, I was impressed that Notre Dame was actually able to shut down Fitzgerald Toussaint. They held him to only 71 yards on 22 carries,
they do have a solid front seven, Notre Dame. They're not like chumps. So, you know, you could expect that. But, yeah, no, hey, props to Michigan. And you know what? Michigan-Ohio State, November 30th, boy, that's, you know, and we'll check on the health of Braxton Miller as the season goes on. But that's what it's going to be all about, you know, and maybe Wisconsin and Nebraska in the Big Ten. But that's, we're going to be seeing that on the horizon. And then in the one that you predicted, I went for South Carolina maybe getting upset on the road, even though they were, you know, 6 and Georgia was 11. But you know what? I got to say that when you really break it down and they win, Georgia wins 41-30, I think that Gurley might just be the best back in the nation. The kid is impressive. Murray stepped up for 309 yards, four TDs. You know, listen, you can't, you know, Georgia needed that win for them to stay alive for, you know, SEC and for the national championship. And that's exactly what Georgia did. So that's a big win for them at home.
So that's my theory, that the SEC is going to beat up. Finally, in this year, they're not going to win their 8th championship in a row. I think they're going to beat up on each other, including Alabama, who will have one loss. So this was exactly, you know, kind of my theory playing out, which is that Georgia, who loses to a Clemson team that's a pretty good team, and they put the spanking, you know, they came back the next week, didn't have a letdown. But Georgia comes out and needs this win, because if they go 0-2, they're really, you know, behind the eight ball. And they come out and they put 41 up on South Carolina, and South Carolina's D again looked overmatched. And you're right.
But,
Gurley's the best runner in the nation.
But listen, but Davis on the other
yards.
Side, Davis with 149 and 16 carries. He's nice.
Only 16 carries.
9.3 average. That's incredible. Oh,
he's
my
nice.
Goodness. There's a lot of talent in college football. I don't know if people, you know, for people who don't really watch it and then they, you know, sort of see these guys come in the NFL, like you saw Eddie Lacy, and we'll talk about that later, you know, get a touchdown and run. These college guys, it almost seems like they're every year bigger, better, stronger, and much faster.
Whew. You know what it is? I don't know what they're doing at the high school level, but the high school, especially in those big states where they got 4A, 5A football, you know, in Texas and in Ohio,
Florida,
California,
Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Yeah, I mean, these guys are ready to play. And obviously in college you have that redshirt year that a lot of people redshirt, like Johnny Manziel's a redshirt freshman, you know, so he won the Heisman. But he was you know, he had spent a year bulking up. But these guys, you know, and they're coming into college, a lot of them, the true freshmen anyway, also are coming into college really their second semester of their senior year of high school. So they're graduating high school early, and they're learning the playbook, and they're playing in spring practices. And I mean, this is like full-time.
It's the minor leagues. It's the official minor leagues. Hey, two quick props. I got to give love to my man. They beat Eastern Kentucky 44-7. But I know the schedule is soft as cupcakes or cream pie, but Louisville and Teddy Bridgewater will be in the running for the Heisman and the national championship. I'm telling you, they're going to be in this top 10 all year. And how about the upset, Ray? We talk about the SEC, and they get all their props, and they get the network on ESPN, but number 12, Florida, loses at Miami, and Miami's, you know, been through all the suspensions and all the, you know, different things, but 21-16, give the Canes, the U, some props.
It's all about the U. The U. Well, you know what? And this is another rivalry that's going to go away because of big networks and money and allegiances and whatever. But Miami was just a better team from jump. And, you know, Jake Driscoll came in as a highly touted quarterback, and you just...
He's overrated.
He didn't do anything that you would expect. You know, you would expect him at this point with this many games under his belt to do better.
He's sloppy with the ball, right?
Like, he had two interceptions.
Like,
I mean, he threw for what? 22 for 33, 291, but those two interceptions, you know, it was a big deal. And this was a game they should have won, and they could have won. So
yeah.
Florida now takes a step back, and they have to now scramble to get back into that national championship talk. But, I don't think they're there, but they may cause an upset, right? They could beat a South Carolina. They could beat somebody on their way to. They could beat a Georgia on their way to a national championship. So they could definitely play spoiler. Look, the Florida team is good. Will Muschamp has them playing ball, but Driscoll, man, that's the guy I was disappointed in because I need to see more. I need to see more from him. I need to see better decision making.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's definitely all about the decision making. And speaking of decisions. Ooh, we got some heavy ones that went down this week. Look, everybody was waiting for this. Ray and I were talking on Sunday. We couldn't contain ourselves, the excitement, because the NFL is back. You get the little tease with the opener Thursday night, but that first Sunday in September when they're playing football, there's nothing better. You got your fantasy football. You got your games. Hopefully you got the Red Zone channel. You got your grown man pants on or your grown man shorts, and you are watching football on a Sunday. Grown
women like to watch football.
No, grown women too. That's right, grown women too. But it's your right as an American to just sit back and chew on some football. Ray, let's break it down. We'll go in reverse order. We're going to review. Or do you want to start off with some of these injuries?
Let's talk a little bit about the injuries.
Yeah.
Because this is affecting real football and fantasy football
as
well.
All right. Well, first, let's talk about my team. My Steelers, not only did they lose, we lost our linebacker, Larry Foote, veteran. We lost LaRod Stevens Howling, who little scat back that we signed over from the Cardinals, gone for the season. And ACL, MCL, we lost our center, Marquise Pouncey, all-pro center, who is just keeping a line together that was already a mess, and God only knows what we're going to do now. We just signed I believe it's Velasquez from the Titans who started all, 16 games for them last year. We just picked him up as a stopgap and got some other guys. And we brought back Jonathan Dwyer. But, Ray, I don't know. I'm just bad. Those injuries are bad. But there's more. So tell us about some of the other injuries going on.
Yeah, so, Roddy White didn't play. So he still says he's, it's funny, he's this is dangerous when you start tweeting and getting back and forth with your fans because you didn't play fantasy.
But he's trying to help him. He's trying to help him. He said, if I don't practice, don't start me, fantasy fans. You know? But he did play, but he just didn't do anything. He played very little.
Right.
And Douglas.
Gabbert. Yep. And Gabbert is out, his hand.
Already.
So if you're a Jaguars fan, I don't know what to tell you. It's going to be a long season.
Yo, gosh, 28-2, wow.
Goodness.
And you know, for
also,
the Patriots, Shane Vereen, the running back.
What a great game he had, and now it turns out he may need surgery for a broken wrist. And he took over for...
Ridley.
Ineffective Stephen Ridley. Not that it is that ineffective.
Yeah.
It's fumble. You know, you fumble and Belichick will pull you. Just like Coughlin will pull you. So, Shane Vereen, that's just, that's terrible. Now, it turns out that Sanchez is probably out for another few weeks with the Jets. He may not even come back. It may just be Geno Smith's job. You know, definitely Geno Smith's job to lose. So if Geno plays well enough, we may have seen the end of Sanchez.
Mark Sanchez.
Tony Romo got crunched by the Giants late in the second half of that game. He claims
he's
got
tough,
the wind knocked out of him. He's pretty tough. Yeah. You know, his decision making sometimes is questionable especially in the third quarter, fourth quarter of games. But he plays hurt. So,
and he said he'll be back.
It's just
a
bruised rib, but he's hurting.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
this guy is not
he
at
was
full
wincing.
Strength. Yeah.
And you know who else is out? The tight end, Zach Sudfeld for the Patriots. So no Gronk. Gronk won't be back because obviously the Jets Patriots, and we'll talk about it, play on Thursday. So it's a quick turnaround. He'll probably play Gronk week three against Tampa Bay. So now the backup tight end, Zach Sudfeld, is also hurt. So the Patriots, if you've got Amendola and Tompkins and Julian Edelman, will get picked up this week. And we'll talk about on Friday in fantasy football. You know, he will get picked up by everybody and their mama. So that's the major injuries. Also, with David Wilson fumbling, the Giants are bringing in tomorrow Brandon Jacobs, Willis McGahee, and Joe McKnight. So I don't
One
know.
One word of advice, high and tight. Go to Tiki Barber tapes.
Yeah.
And look at how Tiki Barber changed his running style in the beginning of his career when he had some fumbleitis to the end of his career when Tom Coughlin was all over him, high and tight. Don't fumble the ball. And David Wilson, I hope he gets a chance because he's very talented. And people are saying he's just a situational back. I disagree.
No,
I think he's
an
every down back. The kid is talented.
He's
can run,
speed.
He can catch,
yeah.
He's elusive. He just needs to hold on to the football.
Well, hey, going right from there to basically our first game to talk about. Cowboys, 36, Giants, 31. And you said
it. How about them Cowboys?
Kwame was up there pulling out some stuff for you. I'll just say that because let me tell you, when it was 24, I said the Giants are about to come down, drive, and win this game 31-30. Good night, Dallas, and they'll lose their fifth, game in a row at home to the Giants. But, the running back didn't turn around. Darrell Scott and Eli got picked off
again.
Who
actually had a decent game. He did all right.
He did.
That one play was
five turnovers? From the offense and then the muff with the special teams, you can't have that many turnovers. But yet the Giants, look at Victor Cruz, Randall, and Nix all over 100 yards. That's incredible. Myers did okay. The Giants got some positives out of this, but at the end of the day, in your division at home, you got to win. So give the Cowboys credit, and I think they're looking better. They got some good pressure on the quarterback. What do you think about the Cowboys' defense, even though they gave up all those stats?
So, I don't know. This one is so hard for me because this is why head coaches get paid millions of dollars, because beyond the X's and O's, you have to be a master psychologist here, because you can spin this positively or negatively for both teams. You could say, look, the Cowboys turned the Giants over six times. They only created 16 turnovers all of last year. That's excellent. But if you turn somebody over six times, you should run away with the game. They had a chance to lose the game. Giants had the ball.
Never be that way.
Going, and like you said, it was 30-24, and the turnover differential was 5-1. And so the Cowboys on a plus four should never lose the game. It shouldn't even be close. So are you happy if you're a Cowboy fan that you created six turnovers? Or are you thinking to yourself, we created six turnovers and we only won the game by 5 points at the end of the day by the sixth turnover being a pick six? So like you said, the Giants have all the momentum. And I don't know what happens to the Giants in the third and fourth quarter, but they're really unstoppable. I mean, Eli Manning may be one of the bottom third of quarterbacks for the first three quarters, and then in the fourth quarter, he's top two or three. I mean, this guy's unbelievable. And that combination of adding Randall to Nix and Cruz is really deadly.
Hey, I said it in
the
preview show.
Deadly.
He could be the best third receiver in the NFL. And let me tell you, Victor Cruz, he deserved every penny. And I told you that. I believed it. He is not just like a slot or a Westwell. He's a special receiver, special talent. Even that touchdown when he, kind of dove and made sure he got across the line, that was his extra effort. And, he's clutch. So,
and
you know,
add Myers to that mix, too. And the Giants receiving core is legit.
Yeah. No, it's big time. It's big time. And speaking of big time, yesterday in the afternoon, we saw quite a performance from the San Francisco 49ers, Colin Kaepernick, Vernon Davis, and Anquan Boldin. You talk about big time, 13 receptions. What did he get, like 206 yards, 208 yards, whatever? Anquan is a problem, 208. And Kaepernick, he's almost like a video game, because when you can run like that and then you can pass like that, you know, and he's
remember that
just
movie,
clutch.
Remember that movie Weird Science, where the guy made the perfect woman?
Of course, of course.
Right, it was Elizabeth Hurley.
He turned Chet into a pile of mess. You gotta love that movie.
Well, you gotta think Kaepernick is almost turning out to be that, right? Like Russell Wilson is talented, but he's only 5'10", so you wouldn't have a quarterback if you had your druthers be that short. And you know Peyton Manning is big and strong, but he doesn't have the rocket arm, and he doesn't have the mobility. But this guy Kaepernick is really unbelievable. He's got a big, strong arm. He's got long strides. He's fast. He's elusive.
Yeah.
He's tough. And he looks like he's a born leader. You know, his quote.
The best quote of the season.
Maybe of the last few seasons.
Yeah.
Because Clay Matthews tried to, you know, intimidate him, rough him up
a little bit,
and he had that penalty.
And he was chirping all week. Matthews was chirping all week.
Yeah. He said, if intimidation is your game plan, well, I think you got to get a different game plan.
You need to
like,
get a new one.
Like, rub that off my shoulder. You're not intimidating.
You're not ready.
But he did it
you're
in
not
such
ready.
A cool way. Wow.
Well, hey,
so, yeah,
you know,
so,
it was awesome. And I think, you know, hey, they didn't run so great, but Kendall Hunter's back. He did some nice carries. Frank Gore gets a touchdown, does some things. But also, you know, hey, he hooked up with Vernon Davis for 98 yards, which I think, you know, I told you, I think Vernon Davis is going to have not only an all-pro season, but he's going to be probably, when it comes down to it, the best tight end in the NFL this year. And I think the Packers, without Crabtree, will not really miss a beat. And maybe if he can make it back to the playoffs, who knows? But and Manningham can make it back sometime in the season. The Niners are, and you know, hey, Sunday it's Niners at Seattle, so we got a treat on NBC Sunday night. So that's
the only thing. If you're the Niners, you want to run the ball a little better. But other than
you
know, they held a very, very explosive Green Bay
team. Give the Packers defense some credit, right?
Yeah,
DJ Raji and the boys. Jolly's
Tom
back.
Capers did a good job. Yeah, Jolly's back after 3 years out of the league.
3 years. So, you know, give him some credit and some props. And, hey, it's good to see, and, you know, definitely big ups to, you know, the 49ers and then their crazy coach Jim Harbaugh has always said some funny
things. All right, what do you think about the next game that we talked about where I completely missed on this one?
The Jets
and the Tampa Bay Bucks. So a game that it looked like the Jets were going to win, and then it looked like the Bucks were going to win, and then at the last minute, Geno Smith pulls a rabbit out of his hat. So what do you think about that game?
I got to tell you, you know, obviously, you know, you're watching all the games, you're checking the Red Zone channel, you always keep an eye out on your team, so I always keep an eye on my Steelers and my Jets. And what I liked about Geno is that it didn't seem too difficult for him. It didn't seem like he was frazzled. He seemed cool and calm, and, you know, he scrambled and did what he had to do. He found his new favorite receiver, who boldly had said that he would get 100 receiving yards this year, and guess what? He just might. Kellen Winslow, you know, KW2, ladies and gentlemen, he's back. And you know what I like about that? It shows that when guys get a little bit older, it doesn't mean you get rid of them. Like, you know, Dallas Clark came back, and he's, you know, even though he dropped the ball, he's playing well and played well last year. Well, same with Kellen Winslow. This is the reason why I think Brandon Lloyd, Ocho Cinco, and Terrell Owens could, you know, still be playing. But, hey, whatever. I'm just glad the Jets won with no running game either. And so that's why I think, to me, Geno Smith, and I'll talk about it later, you got to give him his props, his respect, and I think Sanchez is done. Not just with the shoulder injury. I just think with that contract, they're obviously not going to bring him back next year. They could always re-sign Brady Quinn. They just cut him, and they could always bring him back and just, you know, eat that the salary for this year, because Sanchez, he's just really not needed. You know, you could go to Quinn or you could go to Matt Sims if Geno, you know, gets hurt, but I got to believe that Willie Colon and offensive line, these guys, they're ready to protect Geno, and they just got to get Ivory and our boy Bilal Powell going, and then the Jets could, you know, Jets could do some things. So congrats to them. And
if you take Geno out of the mix, the Jets did nothing on the ground. Bilal Powell was 12 for 29, and Chris Ivory was 10 for 15. So sort of disappointing from that perspective. But you know what?
Definitely.
at this level, you just need to win games. And Geno Smith did enough to keep them in the game. I don't want to say he, you know, played great, but he did enough to keep them in the game. And in the fourth quarter, having a quarterback that can make things happen, right, drawing
that
penalty.
Hey, Freeman didn't do it, right? Freeman, 15 for 31, did not do it.
Well, but he did take him on that drive, though. He did drive him down, which should have been the game-winning drive with that great catch by Vincent Jackson up the middle.
He did
enough to win his game. Freeman's another guy. Well, he's on a contract year, so there's going to be a lot of pressure on him in Tampa. But, kudos to the Jets. They pulled it out. I thought they were going to get blown out. I thought they shouldn't have been on the same field. But the defense, you know, and that's something that, to Rex Ryan's defense.
Credit, yeah.
Defense always travels. They happen to be at home, right? But if you're a good defensive team, you keep the games close. And if you keep the game close, anything can happen. And it did. They benefited from a fortunate personal foul, 15 yards, would put unnecessary roughness, which put them in field goal range. But at the end of the day, it's because they stayed close. And for all those teams out there, those high-powered offensive teams, that's why they say defense wins championships. Keep
the
game close.
Because then anything can happen.
You have
the ball bounces funny. You know, you get a turnover here and there. So, hey, give them their props and we'll move on. And this was an interesting game, you know, in Chicago. Two teams that are expected to do some big things, you know, one with stability and everything sort of the same, and the other, you know, with new coach, you know, quarterback, you know, is on a contract season, and, you know, new offensive coordinator, a new direction with Trestman. And the Bears, they went blow for blow with Cincinnati, and they win 24-21, even though A.J. Green was ridiculous. You had Kevin Durant, other people on Twitter were just like, yo, this guy's unreal. I mean, A.J. Green, he's right there with Megatron. I truly believe that. He's in that class of Fitzgerald, Andre Johnson, and Megatron. Do you feel that way, or do you think he's there
now?
No, A.J. is
the truth. I mean, look, he was the truth at Georgia. He was suspended for those games while he was there, but he's unbelievable. He's not the physical specimen that Calvin Johnson is. Nobody in the league
is.
Be the second best receiver. I mean, Fitzgerald's already getting up there a little bit in age. Andre Johnson's a little bit. Well,
it's
I got Fitzy on my team.
Fitz played ball.
So, you know, I like Larry Fitzgerald.
He just turned 30 though, but he's a baller.
But you know, he's getting up there, and he's been in the league 10 years already. He came out after his sophomore year. You know,
it's incredible,
He's getting up there, but Andre Johnson with the hamstring pulls. AJ Green might be the second best receiver in the league behind Calvin Johnson. So,
but also
incredible.
Brandon Marshall on the other side.
Brandon Marshall is
what a baller,
beast,
monster,
and he is.
He's unstoppable, right?
Yeah, he's even better than Anquan Boldin, and Anquan Boldin is pretty good, right? He is a wide receiver and a tight end wrapped into one. He had 8 catches for 104 yards. The guy is just physically, you know, a matchup nightmare. He can run a little bit. He's got size. He's got hands. You know, Brandon Marshall is the real deal, and he's the reason why, you know, Cutler should be kissing his feet. Because he's the reason why Cutler put up big numbers in Denver, and he's the reason why Cutler, if he's able to, is going to keep his job.
Yeah, get
here
a contract. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, you're totally right about that. And you know what's so great about him, though, and it's almost like with him and now Martellus Bennett, it's almost like having two tight ends in a way, you know, oddly enough, because he's that type of receiver. With Marshall, you see it sometimes. Cutler can throw it pretty much, you know, he almost into double coverage, or, you know, he's totally covered one-on-one, but he's covered. It doesn't matter. Marshall goes and gets it.
Let me ask you something. Did this game tell you anything about these two teams and their chances for making the playoffs?
Well, it told me this, that, you know, even though the Ravens and Steelers lost, the whole, and, you know, obviously Miami, you know, shout out for Hank. We'll get into his team. It was a little bit of a mess later, but Miami beats the Browns. The NFC, AFC North, everybody's 0-1, right? Hey, it's just one game, no panic. You can't always expect the Bengals to go and win interdivision at, a tough team like Chicago's, in their stadium. But I think that in terms of making the playoffs and winning your division, which the division winner does do, you win it and you're in no matter your record. I think that this, you know, a team like the Steelers who has these injuries, if they can sort of piece it together, they very much are alive and have a shot. You know, and I don't know if the Bengals, and this is what I told you off air, I don't know if the Bengals mentally are ready to play ahead, you know, with that sort of, you know, like they're the golden children, you know, Hard Knocks and being favored. So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it. And like we always said, we got to still question Dalton and will Gresham or Tyler Eifert or, you know, Sanu, who will step up to assist A.J. Green? You know, Bernard didn't do much.
Well,
Ben Jarvis,
I think,
didn't do much, even though he had
anything,
a touchdown. Yeah.
They need a running game. They need a running – I mean, it's nice to have Tyler Eifert, and it's nice to have the second receiver behind Green, but I think they need a running game. I think that combination of Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Giovanni Bernard, they really need to step up, and this team needs to be balanced, partially because I don't want to put this much pressure on Andy Dalton in his third year. So if
you're
they're
totally
going
right.
to go far, I think – their defense, and then if they get the lead, I'd like to see them be able to play from ahead and run the ball and not have to rely on getting it to A.J. Green, because A.J. Green is going to be triple teamed. So they need to figure out how to move the ball, get touchdowns, or not even touchdowns, but get first downs in the fourth quarter of games that they're ahead. So if I'm Cincinnati, I'm saying, all right, Chicago's a tough place to win, but you know what? We need to step up. This is our division, especially with those injuries in Pittsburgh, the new cats in, you know, in Baltimore,
Cleveland's
not going to be that good. So at the end of the day, this is our division for the taking. So if I'm Cincinnati, I'm not that discouraged, but I'm fired up though. I am thinking, all right, we need to turn it on. Let's go.
No, you're right about that, and sort of the same thing in a division battle. Hey, we spoke about it. Sean Payton's back, and it makes a difference. You know, you could say what you want. Looking at both these guys, and I really, you know, I teetered back and forth in predicting my MVP, and it was really between Matty Ice and Drew Brees. And I went with Matt Ryan just because I think overall the team will do better. But he got his 304, two touchdowns. But Drew Brees and the defense in clutch moments, you know, they pulled out the win 23-17. But Drew Brees, you got to love 26 for 35, 357 yards and two touchdowns. And, you know, they don't do such a great job rushing, but they just, you know, look, whether it's Pierre Thomas for 43 yards and, you know, it'll go a couple carries for Sproles for 22 yards, they just do enough to just move the chains. And I love how they, you know, integrate these young guys, whether it's, you know, the kid from, I think it's from Oklahoma, right? Stills. And then Nick Toon is going to get involved. They bring back Meacham.
Al Toon's son.
Yes. The Jets son. Al Toon. We love Al Toon. Shout out to Al Toon. Where you at, Al Toon? But, you know, listen, the Saints defense and Rob Ryan, give him credit. The defense stopped, you know, Steven Jackson on that last play, catching the pass from Matt Ryan. And I really think no matter, you know, how much you see Steven Jackson, you know, get your 77 yards and do whatever they do, I think at the end of the day, the Saints, if they can get the D right, they, you know, they got a shot to shock the Falcons and take this division back. What do you think?
Well, you know what? They just need to replay the 2010 season where they had a defense that created turnovers and was opportunistic.
Exactly.
They didn't run the ball great, but because Drew Brees is so efficient, he's a different quarterback than a West Coast, you know, classic Joe Montana quarterback, but he's so efficient with the ball that it's like running the ball. When he completes it at 70%, that's just, you know, unbelievable. So the Saints are fine. I think this game was more important to the Saints than it was to
Definitely.
The Falcons. I think
you're
the Falcons
at home in your division.
Yeah, the Falcons can lose this game and still end up 12-4 and still win the division.
Definitely.
So no problem with the Falcons. You want to see a little bit more explosiveness from Steven Jackson. I would have liked to have seen him catch that ball. Remember, too, that when they have their combination of Roddy White and Julio Jones, they're going to be pretty much unstoppable on the outside. They were relying a lot on
Douglas.
Douglas
at number three,
They're
he had a good game, Douglas.
He did. And
the veteran Tony Gonzalez.
Fine. And I think they'll both be there in when playoff time comes around.
No, you're right about that. And I'm saying the veteran Tony Gonzalez gets a touchdown. Doesn't have much in the stats, but, hey, he finds the end zone. And but on the other side, man, this tight end, Jimmy Graham. Can I tell you, it's so funny that NFL does their top 100 and they didn't put Jimmy Graham in it. Well, I guarantee you that he makes it next year, and Jimmy Graham is going to have such a monster season that he's going to, right there with Vernon Davis, say, put his stake and claim in that I am – the Don Gagan and the number one tight end in the NFL. You know, I think it's just one of those things where he, you know, he's going to be pissed off that he was disrespected. Because
you know, he's the new mold. It's almost like we talked about Kaepernick. So he's the new mold of tight ends. I think they're going to, Julius Thomas,
yes,
you know, it started with
players.
Antonio Gates. They're going to start, you know, basically
and
recruiting.
Gonzalez,
you're going to see in high school and in colleges these, you know, these coaches going over to the basketball team
and be like,
saying,
hey, small forward, power forward, come play football.
Yeah. Let me see if
well, imagine LeBron
getting so much time.
Yeah, can you imagine LeBron out there playing football? It would just be absurd. I'm telling you, I really think LeBron, oh my gosh, that would be crazy. Like 6'8 and a half, 260 coming down the field. You know, and that's what you're getting with some of these tight ends that these guys have on some of these teams. So we sort of went around. You know, we got to preview tonight's games. Before we preview tonight's games, real quick, were you very impressed with – I was kind of impressed with, you know, Pryor and E.J. Manuel, even in losses on the road. You know, these two young quarterbacks were – they were in the mix. What'd
I like
think
E.J.
about that?
Manuel. I think he's – got a chance to be a decent NFL starter. It's hard to tell with Pryor because he's out there running for his life. He led the league in rushing.
It's not his fault.
He was the top rusher. It's definitely not his fault. And so what I'm saying is this is going to be an experimental year of just staying alive. You know, try to win 3, 4, 5 games and try to stay alive. And then hopefully they'll rebuild the offensive line. They'll get you some talent on the outside, and then we'll see if you're a real NFL quarterback. We know you're talented. You were a state, you know, star in basketball and football in Pennsylvania. So I don't know.
And McFadden
Pryor
was alive.
Still out.
Did you notice the McFadden sighting? He plays some football.
You know,
out there.
Darren McFadden is so funny.
You wish him well.
He's about as talented as there is in terms of NFL running back. His moves, his speed, what he can do, but his injuries, and then sometimes he just fades away. So he's the type of guy that could get you an unbelievable game, and then he could have a lay an egg.
Maybe he has a big season. Let's definitely wish him well.
Yeah,
so let's do it, man. The game is about to start, 6:55 Eastern, 5 minutes before we go off the air. So let's talk about it. Philly at Washington, RG3's return. I'm excited. This division is going to be something. I think Michael Vick has a big game tonight, DeSean Jackson and McCoy. I think we got a shootout, to be honest with you. And I'm looking at the Redskins pulling out a tight one. 30-28, Chip Kelly shows some things, and really the Eagles in a loss wind up looking, you know, even more impressive maybe than the Redskins. But I think the Redskins will just pull it out.
I think the Redskins pull it out as well. I think Philly can't stop the run. So even though Brian Kelly is out there with his new offense, speeding it up and trying to score a lot of points, I think we'll see some real innovation on offense, and I'll be interested see how the Philly team kind of takes to Brian Kelly and how they take to him when they're up and when they're down, you know, because when you're up, you want to run the clock a little bit. And this, you know, this high tempo offense, you know, sometimes doesn't make sense in the third and fourth quarters if you're up and you want to sort of take the air out of the ball. But I think that because they can't stop the run, I think Alfred Morris is going to have a huge game. I think RG3 is going to run a little bit and then, you know, get down and get out of bounds. So again, I think, like you, I think that Washington wins this game. I don't know that it'll be that high scoring. I think maybe something like a 28-24 Washington.
Okay. And then in the nightcap, you got to love the – you know, football does it right, right? ESPN, doubleheader, two Monday nights. They started this, what, maybe about 9-10 years ago. It's been exciting. But Houston at San Diego, the Superchargers. I got to tell you, for me, I'm looking for Tate and Foster to both get maybe close to 100 or over 100. I think that we see a little bit maybe the young DeAndre Hopkins at wide receiver to sort of help Andre Johnson. Shaw plays solid. I just don't know. Is this all going to be about can Fluker stop J.J. Watt, right? DJ Fluker from Alabama, can he, at the offensive line, can he stop Watt, and can they run the ball? Can Matthew, you know, so they can stay alive? Floyd could play, Vincent Brown. We'll see what San Diego can do. I'm going to take the Texans 27-17 in the nightcap at San Diego.
I like the Texans as well. I think they're the better team. I think the cream rises to the top. I think this is even a blowout. I think it's like 31-17. I just don't think that San Diego has enough, especially if the Texans are close to full speed and they've got their running game going, they got their receivers going. So the only weakness they have is that receiver on the other side of Andre Johnson, and that's a TBD, and it has been for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. So if they can get that right, and then if they get production out of, you know, Tate and Foster,
and they got Owen Daniels,
of course, the defense, the one weakness that Houston has is the defense gives up big plays. I just don't know that San Diego has the skilled players to beat
to
them
take advantage,
on big plays,
yeah.
Right? So I like them. I like them big. I like Houston big in this game.
Okay, so let's do it, man. Let's do some champs and chumps. And normally you go first, but how about since it's close to my birthday, I go first.
Okay.
And I am going to tell you, I'm going to go negative first. You know, I know you like to go positive first. I'm going to go negative first, and because it's close to my heart. So there's this wide receiver named Mike Wallace. He doesn't want to, you know, do what he's supposed
to
do.
The cat from 60 Minutes?
No. The cat that used to be number 17 for the Pittsburgh Steelers that would stretch the field and go deep. Well, he signs, about a $60 million deal with the Miami Dolphins. Makes Hank a little happy and excited. Well, he goes over there in Cleveland. Miami gets the W. But Mike Wallace is one catch for 15 yards. But what made it worse and why he's the chump, he's crying and bitching and just making such a fuss that he didn't get to do what he wanted to do. The GM, Ireland, is sort of consoling him as they're going into the locker room. He sort of, you know, pouts to the media, talk to the coach. And then even Starks on defense was sort of the same way. I think Miami better watch out, because I don't know if it's that guys don't like the coach, and we saw him on Hard Knocks last year, and, you know, he was a little rough around the edges maybe to some people, but I don't know what's going to go on or what's going on in Miami, but Mike Wallace was being a crybaby. He had 5 targets, where my boy Hartline had like 14 or 15. He was the number one targeted receiver this week, and Hartline got busy. But when your team wins, Ray, you got to be a team player. Maybe next week you'll break it out and do more than just one catch for 15 yards. But for right now, when your team wins, stop crying, stop pouting, and stop being the chump for Tay.
Is that just being a diva?
Weekend. It's more than a diva. It's more than a diva, because you could be like, oh, I want the ball, but say the right things to the media and just go to your coaches and say something, right? That's the way to handle it. That's what, you know, mostly Jerry Rice did and other guys do. But when you win on the road, you know, they won 23-10, and it was a big win. And to me, to cry like that, he's my chump. He's my chump.
All right, so this show is all of, this segment's all about Tay, because we had an ex-Steeler in Mike Wallace, and I'm going to give you my chump are the current Steelers.
Oh.
And I didn't think they'd make the playoffs, but I also didn't think that they would lose the first game 16-9. So if I want to be more specific, I could say, okay, the defense held Tennessee to 16 points, so it's really the Pittsburgh offense is my chump. And if you take away 2 points that they got on a safety, because Darius Reynolds, shout out to West Virginia,
complete gift.
Give them that 2-point gift. They really scored a touchdown. So they had
at the end of the game,
195 total yards of offense. And now Todd Haley's supposed to be the offensive boy genius. That's not offensive boy genius material. And granted, Tennessee looks much better, and Greg Williams can coach. and he got his players playing. So, you know, bounty hunting aside, he is a good, very good motivational, you know, they just have a new speed and a new energy. But still, the Pittsburgh offense, are you serious? 195 yards of total offense. And now granted, Marcus Coffey went down, but he didn't go down, you know, in the first game of the first play of the game. 163 net passing yards, but what kills you is 15 rushes for 32 yards. That is not Pittsburgh Steeler football.
That's not NFL football.
That's not, that's not NFL football.
Nah,
that's
man,
true.
I'm upset with my team today. I don't even want to talk about it.
My chumps of the weekend are the Pittsburgh Steelers offense.
All right, well, let's keep it moving. My champ. My champs, put the S on it. I'm going back to MetLife Stadium, and I'm going back to my man, the new quarterback in town, baby, Geno Smith and Coach Rex Ryan.
Lord.
They
okay.
get the upset. They get the upset. Rex Ryan is coaching his butt off this season because he's got zero talent. And when you get 29 yards from Powell and you get nothing from Ivory, you know, and your receivers are curly and just Winslow, you have, you know, you, Santonio Holmes is barely healthy. You're pulling a miracle out of your hat. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? That's what Rex Ryan did and what Geno Smith did. We won't see Sanchez again. Give props to Geno. A win is a win is a win. No, was it pretty? No. But when you do 24 for 38, you got guys dropping the balls, you throw a touchdown, and you throw for 256 yards your first game, you deserve some props. Hey, he's not RG3. He's not Luck. He's not Cam Newton. That's okay. He doesn't have to be. But he also doesn't have the talent around him. Geno Smith is a good young quarterback, and it's time to move forward. We got a young, just a young stallion from West Virginia, young brother at quarterback in New York with the Jets, and I'm excited. And Geno Smith, Rex Ryan, and the New York Jets are my champs of the week.
Woo! Okay, all right. I'm going to give you my champs. Now, we talked about it a little bit, and so it's not that surprising, but I've got to go with a combination, pitcher and catcher, in football, so to speak. Colin Kaepernick and Anquan Boldin. Kaepernick went 27 for 39 for 412 yards, three touchdowns, and zero interceptions. And he threw the ball. We were all worried about, you know, where does Boldin fit in? Vernon Davis going to be asked to do too much? Because without Crabtree and Manningham, are they short of talent on wide receiver? Boldin more than answered the bell. I mean, this guy is just unbelievable, and he continues to be
great
unbelievable.
Hands, yeah.
13 catches, 208 yards.
Ask Flacco how good he is.
Wow. Yep. Basically made Flacco who he was, because if it wasn't for Anquan Boldin, Flacco would have lost in the first round of the playoffs and
that's right.
wouldn't have gotten
he carried the
Ravens $20 million contract for you know for 6 years. So, yeah, Anquan Boldin and Colin Kaepernick are my champs of the weekend. So, by the way, quick update, U.S. Open.
Yeah.
Djokovic wins the second set, so they're 1-1 going into
wow.
the third set. Looks like we got a good one in Flushing.
You know, it like I said, it's been a great U.S. Open. The guys are giving you their best. The women gave you their all. I just wish I was out there, you know, watching it, because that's one event I never went to. A native New Yorker, but I never went to it. I had family that worked at it. My sister used to work out there, but I just never, you know, saw the tournament and watching it, you know, forever
it's
since
it's
a child
especially
on
in the,
TV.
It's actually more fun in the early rounds because you can
yes.
bounce around to from the main stadium, from Louis Armstrong to Billie Jean King, and then you can go to
mm-hmm.
the smaller courts. And you can just see doubles, mixed doubles, and just spend the day out there. They you know, they have the day session, the night session. It's pretty awesome.
Right.
But anyway,
okay.
let's move on.
I'll put it on my list.
Yeah, put it on your to-do, on your bucket list. So
the bucket list.
Let's talk about it. We've got a Thursday night game.
A gem.
So you've got the Jets, who are now 1-0. You've
Woo!
Got the New England Patriots, who are 1-0, thanks to a patented comeback from
NFL Network Thursday night.
Yeah, from Brady. NFL Network Thursday night. There you go. So let's talk about it in the 5 minutes we have left. What do you think? Well, let's put it this way. Obviously, the New England Patriots are going to be a huge favorite. What do the Jets need to do to stay competitive and give themselves a chance to win this game?
I guess the biggest thing to me is they need to not only watch the Bills tape, but they need to focus on the fact that Amendola is banged up. He'll play, but he's banged up. I don't know if Dobson will be back. Gronkowski won't be there. Vereen's not there. So that means LeGarrette Blount is going to get more carries, and he's a load. Ridley will, you know, be back doing his thing. But it's really trying to say, okay, I won't let Amendola or Edelman beat me. You're going to have to get connected with this rookie because he had 14 targets and only 4 receptions. So I would make sure that Tom Brady has this guy beating me, Kembro Tompkins, and I'm shutting down Amendola. I'm not letting him get off because he just moves the chains like Wes Welker, and he's younger and faster. So to me, I think for the Jets, they've got to find a way to run the ball, but they've got to, you know what, take advantage, do bootlegs, do screen passes, do whatever you sort of reverse. Stop that wildcat nonsense. It's not going to work against Belichick, and it's just foolishness. And just let this guy get down the field with Kellen Winslow. See if you can wake up Stephen Hill. Maybe Holmes gives you something. I think the Jets have just got to be scrappy, but you know what you got to do? You blitz Brady. You got to get to him. But he doesn't have the guys that can stretch the field, so I think the Jets have a chance to be close in this game. I think it's all going to be about turnovers, and if Geno cannot get caught up and get burnt by the Patriots team, they had the most turnovers last year. So with interceptions and stuff, so they're live. They get after the ball. So if Geno can keep it and not turn it over, I think the Jets have a solid chance. But I'm taking the Patriots in a battle. They're not going to probably – I don't know what the spread is. It's probably like 6 or 8. I think the Patriots win a close one on Thursday night football, which is going to be exciting. I think the Patriots win 20-16.
Wow.
You
think that they can hang – the Jets can hang and they can hold the Patriots to 20?
Yes.
You're thinking
yes,
of
the Bills just held them. The Bills just held them. And I think that they've done it before with Brady, and he's got less talent this time.
By the way, it looks like the spreads are opening around 12. 12.
Oof, more than what I thought.
12, yeah.
Okay. I think they held them.
10.
Okay.
Like 10.
I said 6 or 8, but it's 10.
So I wish you're right. I hope you're right. I hope the Jets can do it. I think that what's missing is you either have to beat New England by putting up a lot of points and playing from ahead and hoping that Tom Brady gets flustered and you try to get him out of the pocket and put him on the run and make him, force him to force the issue a little bit, or you take the air out of the ball and you try and run the ball and you try and take one or two possessions off the clock and take them away from the Patriots. The problem is I don't think the Jets are built to do either because they really don't have the talent to put up, a lot of points, and they really don't have the running game to keep New England off the field. So I think the Jets really can only win a game like they did against the Bucs, which is to keep the game close and hope to pull the rabbit out of the hat in the fourth quarter. That's really the only chance the Jets have. The problem is I don't think the Jets D can hold, can hold the Patriots to 15, 17, 19 points. So I think the Jets can only score, 14 to 17 points themselves. So I actually think the Patriots are going to blow them out. I think it's going to be something like 34-17 Patriots. I just don't think the Jets have enough firepower, and I just think that even beat up, I think the Patriots can put up some points on the Jets.
Okay. Well, listen, that's fair. It's going to be a great game. It's going to be fun. We'll all be there. We'll be back Friday. We'll give you our fantasy football, moves of the week, who you should start, who you should sit. We're going to, talk about all the games. We'll obviously review the Patriot and Jet game. And maybe we'll give you a little update on this pennant race. You see the, you know, Reds sweeping the Dodgers, Yankees fighting, you know, a lot of stuff going on. So thanks for listening. And, you know, hey, man.
Enjoy the week.
I'll be a little bit older. Tomorrow's Tay's birthday, man. I'm hitting the big one,
43.
So, yeah, man. So I'm excited. Last year we had a birthday show, but this year we're on a Friday. So thanks for listening, and go watch this game. Redskins Eagles, it's on. Let's do it.
Go enjoy.
Talking sports with friends.
We're out.
Let's go, Nadal.